Welcome to Reach For It radio show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm so glad you're joining us today because I want to know something out there in this audience that's listening. Do you talk to dead people? Do you see dead people? I have Roberta on the show here. I'll be bringing her on in a minute. And she has a great new book out, and it's called The Fun of Staying in Touch. It's about connecting with the other side, connecting with our loved ones that have passed away. And, you know, this is a hot topic right now. The veil is being lifted. The veil is much thinner now. A lot of us are, you know, feeling this connection. We want to know more. And we have a special guest today, Roberta Grimes. She is a business attorney, novelist, and speaker based in Austin, Texas, who has two extraordinary experiences of light as a child. In an attempt to understand her experiences, she has spent decades studying nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from the dead and other afterlife-related evidence, which eventually enabled her to assemble an in-depth understanding of who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. We're talking to Roberta Grimes today about the fun of staying in touch. And Roberta, welcome to the show.
Hi, Christina. I'm so glad to be with you. What a great introduction. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm so glad to have you with us. You know, Roberta and I met at another radio station over a year ago, and I just had such a great time with her on the show. I was excited when your publicist contacted me about your new book, and you know, it's great information, Roberta, because I think a lot of people out there either feel the presence of someone who's passed away, or they would like to feel the presence. And so, can you tell me a little bit about what inspired you to explore this particular topic?
Well, I had written The Fun of Dying, which was based on decades of studying afterlife communications, the most important of which were received before 1950. So I was very aware of, and also based in quantum physics and other areas of evidence that are just perfectly consistent with one another. So I was pretty confident I knew what was going on. And you can't be in this field without learning a great deal about communication. And I thought everybody knew this stuff. Silly me. It amazes me how many people I have heard from just in the little bit of time since this book came out who had no idea that they were, in fact, hearing from their loved ones, that the signs they were getting, and some of those signs have been terrific that people have been telling me about, they had no idea what goes on. So this is a whole area of knowledge. People know about near-death experiences. More and more people are knowing about the afterlife. But for some reason, most people do not know how intensively our dead loved ones are trying to stay in touch with us. So it's been an exciting ride. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, you know, you take topics that are typically taboo or bring up emotions, and you make it fun, and you make it interesting, and you also bring a truckload of research with you. You know, it's not just your personal experience that you bring to the table. So I really appreciate that when I read your work.
Well, thank you so much. No, I'm not psychic at all. This doesn't come from my psychic, although you'll notice in The Fun of Staying in Touch, obviously my guides, and we all have guides, and I resisted till very recently to even talk about mine, but we all have guides, and my guides have been trying to get me to write this book for years. When I wanted to call The Fun of Dying, when it came out in 2010, I wanted to call it Dying for Dummies. I thought that would be a great title. And then I woke up one morning, and in my mind, very forcefully, that's when our guides often speak to us, is during the night. I woke up with The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and The Fun of Growing Forever. Three books, titles in my head. I knew that, therefore, I had to change, of course, the first title very wisely. They were a lot smarter about the title than I was. I didn't know what The Fun of Staying in Touch would even be about at that point. But as we get closer, my mother died 2 years ago. And that was kind of the impetus for me to start seriously writing this book, because she gave me such spectacular signs associated with her death. And around the same time, my brother-in-law was giving me signs. So I was being hit upside the head by my relatives and by my guides. It was time to write this book. And it just, it flowed wonderfully. I had a consultant who it died at 20. He would be 27 or 28 now. And I didn't understand how some of the amazing things they do were even possible. So in The Fun of Staying in Touch, I directly quote him. He communicates through his mother by pendulum, and she asked him the questions, and he gave me the answers, and his answers were great. So I didn't even try to paraphrase him. I just quoted him directly in my book. His name is Mikey Morgan. So all of this was happening, and it was like coming together. And so that's really what happened with this book. It almost didn't feel like I was writing it. It kind of wrote itself.
Well, you know, that's when the magic happens. I work with a lot of authors on writing coaching with my publishing company, Roberta, and that's when the book is powerful, when it feels like it writes itself, because, yes. Right? So let's back up a little for those. A lot of people have lost loved ones. You know, look at the baby boomer generation.
Yes.
That generation, you know, has now a lot of people they know in their peer group, their sisters, brothers, their, you know, right. Are passing away right now. And you know, in the media, you know, we're it's like all these celebrities are passing away, and spiritual leaders. And, you know, it's just kind of the time we're in. And so let's back up a little. And could you talk a little bit just to the basic? Where is the afterlife? You know, how does it work? And then we're going to talk more about connecting with those.
Well, the afterlife is exactly where we are. Everything is in the same place. There is nothing solid. What we think of as a solid reality is not that. It's hard for people to believe this, but your body's made out of the same non-solid stuff as what's around you. So when you try to put your hand through your desk, you can't. But in fact, it's almost entirely empty space. If the White House were the nucleus of an atom, the closest orbiting electron might be in Denver, and there would be nothing in between. So there's a lot of space in there for stuff to fit. Oh, and parenthetically, what we used to think were solid particles are not particles at all. They're vortices of energy. So this is all sort of energy. That's all it is. And in the same place, just at higher vibratory rates, are at least 6 inhabited levels of after-death reality, each of which seems to be about as large as the whole universe. And in them, of course, there's plenty of space. Not that space matters, because there is no such objective thing as space or time. But there's certainly a lot of room for our loved ones to have a lot of fun, and they certainly do. But since it's right in the same place where we are, and just at this higher of arbitrary rate, it's relatively easy for our loved ones to just lower their rate enough to be on our level. Now, we can't see them because they're in energy bodies, but they're right here with us. And when you feel the presence of a loved one, that loved one is right there with you. They're as close to us as they could possibly be, closer than when they were in separate bodies. And that being the case, it's easy for them to give us signs. Their minds are much more powerful than ours in terms of their ability to manipulate our reality. So they can do things, and I talk about them in The Fun of Staying in Touch. They can do things with our reality, make things disappear, reappear, move them while we're looking. They can themselves appear to us. They can give us sounds and scents which happen inside our minds. All kinds of things they can do as wonderful signs. They could herd insects with their energy and do it spectacularly in some cases. So it's really all right here. And it's just, it's really simple. It's a lot more simple than we've always thought, the way reality actually works.
You know, I think a lot of people think, oh, I have to go to a medium, or I don't spend all these hours meditating and lighting candles and burning incense and getting right into that zone but you don't have to, right? You could just be thinking of your loved one. It's that easy.
Right. They can read our thoughts, sorry to say. So they're very close to us. But it's better to speak aloud. Whenever you think you're getting a sign, we're told you should say aloud, "Thank you, please do something else." What are the kinds of signs to look for? The most common sign is pennies. And they're probably apports. They're literally materialized in that spot. But if you're finding a penny every week or two, don't worry about that. That's nothing. But if you've just lost a loved one and suddenly you're finding pennies everywhere, including in odd places, you looked at the table, you were sure there was nothing there. You turn back and there's a penny or a group of pennies somewhere. That's probably not random. Statistically, it would be very unlikely for that to suddenly start happening. That's probably a sign. So just say, "Thank you, Mom. I see that." And say it aloud. It doesn't matter if people look at you funny. Just say it aloud. But feathers are another thing that they commonly give us. If you're looking at your bed and you see a feather beside the pillow, that may not mean much. But if suddenly you're finding, right after my mother died, I was finding a lot of blue jay feathers. Now, they're not that common in Texas. I don't think I've seen a blue jay here, although we had a blue jay pet at home. I'm from Massachusetts originally. And so blue jays would be something she would give me a sign of. And indeed, those feathers were probably a sign from her. So I just picked them up and said, "Thank you, Mom."
So so you said they read your mind. Okay, what about being, you know, a little bit outside of the box here on not caring if your dear old mom or dad is reading your mind? What if there's someone that passed away that was not so supportive or maybe abusive or, do you know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
Someone you don't want to read your mind or you don't even want to be around you while you're, you know, still living and they're in the afterlife.
What have you
come across with that?
That's a great question on so many levels. The first thing I would say, because I've already heard from people who have had troubled childhoods and are trying to resolve things with their parents, trying to make peace with people who have died is very important. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, who's Dr. Love, wrote a great book called Love Never Dies, which is a wonderful book about Kippy in contact with her husband, a very romantic, most romantic love story I've ever read between two people, one alive and one dead. But she makes a specialty of helping people heal the rifts with parents who have died, because that only when you heal that rift are you healed. Forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. So the first thing I tell people when they have that kind of issue is forgive and release it. Forgive whatever was done, doesn't matter now, and release it. So that's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do would be to call upon your guides for protection. We all have spirit guides, one, sometimes several, who are just trying to help us get through our lives as well as they can. And they will protect us so that negative entities won't be around us. But I should just say that if you have a parent who has died or someone in a sort of more senior mode who has died, and that person treated you badly, believe me, they are grieving now. They are repenting, because the first thing that happens after we die is we have a life review and we get to relive all the events of our lives, not just from our perspective, but from the perspective of everybody we affected. So they know very well how much they hurt you or how much it's damaged your life, and they're agonized by grief. I was just in Mountain View, California at a bookstore giving a workshop, and someone came up to me afterwards and talked about a really terrible childhood and said she was trying to make peace with her father, and she didn't even know how to begin to do it. And so we worked on that together just right after the workshop. She and I just started this little session. I went off and had coffee with her. But she said her father seemed to be coming through her whenever she went to a medium to try to talk to other people. He would come and say, you have to forgive me because I can't go on. I can't go on. Please forgive me. What he was telling her was something important. Until he can forgive himself for what he did to her, he cannot grow spiritually. He cannot move on. And if he doesn't forgive her, he's going to lower his vibratory rate and put himself in the worst possible part of the afterlife. So it's a gift to him. It's a gift to her. It's a gift to the universe to forgive him. let him, forgive him and release him. You're not approving of what people did that were that hurt you or that was wrong. You're not approving of that. And if it's a person still living, you don't have to have a relationship. You don't have to say to them, I forgive you. But just in your heart, forgive and release, because that's the greatest gift you can give yourself. And pick up Dr. Turndorf's book, because Dr. Love's book, because Love Never Dies is full of good information about how to do this if it's really, really hard to do.
Well, I think that will give people a little bit of relief, you know, because I had read a book in years ago that talked about, you know, if an alcoholic parent or abusive parent with like severe addiction and could almost be like a wet blanket or a dark cloud over you in the after, you know, when they were in the afterlife. So right. Bringing in protection, doing release work, maybe working with a spiritual coach or whoever that you feel guided to, reading the book. Those are good ways that people can, yes, you know, break free from that, because that's no fun to think, oh, they're finally passed away. And then you think, oh, I'm not free.
That's, you know? That's the problem. You're right. It doesn't free you just to have them not be physically present, because our minds are eternal. Their mind is, your mind is. So the only way to get free of it truly is to forgive them and let them go.
Well, this is just amazing conversation. I have a million questions for you, Roberta. And for the listeners out there, if you want to find out more information, Roberta has written many, many books and very intriguing books. And her website is robertagrimes.com. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how to connect with loved ones on the other side and all kinds of fun topics that have to do with the afterlife. So we will be right back after these messages.
Welcome to Reach For It Radio Show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
I am Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I have developed a proprietary system that reveals accurate insight into someone's personality traits called Namology Science. This science of unlocking the secrets hidden in a person's name has become so popular that I am offering a Namology Science coaching certification program. Join our international community of certified Namology coaches. Go to knowthename.com for details.
Have you been told you should write a book? Do you need a little help getting started? Or maybe your manuscript is already written and you require some fine-tuning before you publish? Big Country Publishing offers writing coaching packages that are custom-tailored to you. Contact Big Country Publishing today so they can help you to get your book and message out to the world. Learn more at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Would you like a tool to clear your energy field and raise your vibration instantly? Solfeggio Sound Healing from Earthly Frequencies is a new CD created to bring you earthly healing vibrations combined with higher dimensional galactic energy. Use this sound healing for meditation, massage therapy, releasing negativity, and astral travel. Solfeggio Sound Healing by Ted Winslow. Now available on iTunes and Amazon.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad you're joining us today. We are talking about connecting with our loved ones on the other side. Roberta Grimes has just written a book about the fun of staying in touch, Roberta. So we talked about a little bit before break how, you know, if there's someone you don't really want to stay in touch with, you know, right. some tools, some ideas, and some insight. So let's talk about people who really want to connect with a loved one and they aren't seeing any signs or they don't know what to do. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I'm sure there's someone out there listening who is sad right now thinking, I want to connect.
Well, there it depends actually on when they died. It depends on what they're up to now. So there are a lot of it depends about this. But what I would recommend first is that people look for signs, because virtually all of the dead will leave us some signs, and they can be subtle. And most people don't know what they are, which is why I spend considerable time on them in the fun of staying in touch, trying to help people know them, know what all the signs are. The Guggenheims also wrote a great book called Hello from Heaven, which is kind of a classic in this field, which lists all kinds of signs. What I try to do is just give a summary so that people don't have to spend a lot of time reading. But pennies, feathers, a familiar scent, a familiar sound, a song on the radio, or a song when you walk into an elevator, all kinds of sounds, just anything like that. Driving and you see a bumper sticker with the name of somebody that you have lost, or you see a bumper sticker, you see a license plate, a bumper sticker, you see a neon sign that's partly burned out. These are all the kinds of things they'll do. Believe it or not, they'll burn out some poor soul's, partly burn out someone's neon sign to make a word that you'll recognize. And then they put your eyes on that. They're able to do that. They're able to direct our attention. Those are the things they do. And then when we get to the point where maybe we aren't looking at signs or seeing signs, after about 6 months, we can start trying to communicate with them through mediums. Those mediums are psychic mediums nowadays are all that we have. I have trouble believing in a lot of stuff. I'm a skeptic, believe it or not. And so I had a lot of trouble believing in psychic mediums, but because of the fact that it's pretty much been demonstrated that there are psychic mediums. Dr. Gary Schwartz, who's a friend of mine, wrote a wonderful book. He's at the University of Arizona in Tucson, one of the very few scientists who are working in this field. And he did double and triple blind testing of psychic mediums. And he wrote a wonderful book called The Afterlife Experiments, came out in 2003. And that convinced me that there are good psychic mediums. And now in Tucson, the Windbridge Institute, Windbridge Institute, just Google them. They have a whole list of people they've tested. So find a good psychic medium that you're comfortable with. Doesn't have to be local. In fact, it's better if they're not local. They would usually prefer to work with you by phone. And see if you can contact your loved one that way. Those are the things I would do. There are fancier things you can do, though, but that's where I would start, Christina.
Well, you know, I've interviewed many psychic mediums over the years and know a lot of them through the work that I do in the consciousness field and publishing and speaking and consulting. And there's some good ones and there's some not yes. so good ones. And that's so right. Use your discernment, because just because they have a fancy website or a high price doesn't mean that they know what they're doing or that they're in integrity. But I have had some good experiences where I can tell they are definitely connecting yep. and it's accurate information. And, you know, so using discernment is so important. But what I think is fun too, Roberta, is that little children can see grandparents.
Oh, yes. And, you're absolutely right. Yes.
You know, pay attention. If you have a little, you know, baby or toddler that's your child, or it's maybe a family member, maybe it's a niece or, you know, a granddaughter, whatever, pay attention. This is something funny, Roberta, that happened to me, and I was not expecting this. My daughter was just a little toddler, barely speaking, in her crib, And she said, thank you. Thank you very much. And I looked at her when I was getting her out of her crib, like, did she just sound like Elvis, you know? And I'm like, how do you know that? How do you know that? Right. And she got upset with me. Like, and I was like, how do you know those words? We don't talk like that. You know, and Elvis was like ringing in my head. I'm thinking, oh, come on. Like, really? And she said, Uncle Frank sings to me in her little broken toddler words. Well, my Uncle Frank, who had died like 15, 20 years prior, would always do Elvis impersonations. He even had the sideburns.
What a great story that is. Yeah, that's one of the best I've heard, frankly. I mean, I have my own as well for my grandchildren, but and my mother-in-law, who was very close to them when they were small. But that's neat. I mean, and what validation that is. There's no possible way she could have known any of that stuff.
Oh, what? Yeah. I mean, it's not. I mean, she was barely speaking. She could just get, you know, little words out and we had to figure it out. But I'm like, you know, Elvis did not just visit my, you know, toddler in her crib. I know that. But sense.
But an Elvis impersonator did.
Oh, an Elvis impersonator. There you go.
Right. That's great. Now, it needs to be someone who is close to or would want to hang around that child, would be close to that child. Typically, it's a grandparent. Very common. You'll hear little children talking about their imaginary friends, what we call their imaginary friends, this or that person who is there. Sometimes it'll be a child who has died, who comes to play with them, who may have died nearby or for whatever reason be around them. And sometimes it'll be their grandparents. My mother-in-law was there all the time with one of my grandchildren. She would ask, could grandma come? They called her great grandma, which is because I explained that's who this person is that you seem to keep seeing. But they would see her all the time, but she was just around them all the time. I would be holding all of them, each of them in my arms when I would hold them. Suddenly their eyes would go over my left shoulder and they would smile. And I knew it must be her. Who else would be standing behind me smiling at the baby? Yes. Well, all of this is true.
You know, Roberta, you know, for people out there who maybe aren't feeling that connection or getting these big signs like you are in your family or I am in my family, you know, what about lighting a candle and creating a little gratitude ceremony for that loved one and asking them to come visit or some little thing that you can think of, you know, do you have any experiences or in your research of people who've asked for loved ones on the other side to connect more?
Yes. The problem people have, though, is very often we have trouble believing. As I say, I'm skeptical by nature. And when you're skeptical by nature, you tend to disbelieve stuff. So I've had to learn to open my mind. And it's very possible that for someone listening, if you haven't had any connection from someone who has died, either you're too deep in grief, because grief is an this is sad, isn't it, Christina? It's an absolute barrier to communication. People who have any negative energy around them, and grief is one of the worst, it's a barrier. Your loved ones can't get through. But if you're not in grief, you may just kind of, it's never happened. I don't believe it can happen. Yeah, here they are talking about this or that thing their loved one did. But you have to try to suspend your disbelief to the extent you possibly can. And then, as you say, light a candle, say hello, send prayers. They tell us that just having you think of them, send a prayer their way. Not a prayer, you know, get you out of hell, because there is no such thing. But a prayer, you know, just I'm thinking of you. I love you. I wish you well. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Just that kind of a thing. It's surprising how much they tell us, how much it helps them to get that positive energy from you. They feel it very directly. So I would urge anyone who has loved ones who have died that they feel close to just send them those loving thoughts and say those loving words aloud.
Yeah. And now what is the thing with saying it aloud? Like, how is that different than thinking it?
Well, according to my friend Mikey, who, as I say, died at 20 and would now be about 28, he was a very, very, very powerful being. This is a longer story than we probably want to tell today, but It's in the fun of staying in touch. According to him, the positive energy produced by spoken words is much stronger than the positive energy of thoughts. We're directly connected with them by thought, but there's something about speaking aloud that makes whatever we're saying or thinking more powerful. So he says, say it aloud. So I said, okay, Mikey, we'll say it aloud.
Well, you know, I've heard that with affirmations, that you should say it aloud and not yes. just think it. And yeah. I understood the energy.
Yeah.
So that's a good tip for people who want to connect. So, all right, you talked about there is no hell, and I know you talk about some the levels and the fun of dying and the afterlife, but can you talk a little bit about, just briefly, about what those loved ones are doing on the other side for the people out there who are grieving or are, you know, wanting to be connected, but they're not really getting a lot of information or connection? Just give them a little peace.
There's much more to do there than there is here. We don't have to earn a living. We don't have to eat. We don't have to sleep. It's always daylight. Unless we want, we can have darkness. We can even have rain if we choose, but we usually don't. And so they can do anything that they did here. If they like cars, they could drive a car. If they liked airplanes, if they liked boats, they could have those things. But we usually travel by mind, and you can go anywhere instantaneously by mind. They take classes. They learn to play musical instruments or sing or draw or paint or do all of those things, and much more easily because their minds are so much more powerful there. When we have a child prodigy born, that is certainly someone who has learned to play that instrument before birth, because that's one of the fun things they do. My horse is there. I'm looking forward to driving and riding him again. They travel. There's a lot of traveling done, and you can travel in time as well as in space, because all of the afterlife zones of all of the previous cultures are still there. So you can go and watch them in their afterlife build the pyramids. You can go and watch, visit anybody. One popular place for North Americans to go is the plains, where the Plains Indians still live, and they have their millions of buffalo, and they are apparently, based upon what the dead tell us, they are such spiritual beings. They were perhaps the most spiritual culture that ever existed. And to this point, they are even still doing rehabilitation of people who have had very, very traumatized earth lives. The upper level beings will bring these people to the Plains Indians, who will work with them and heal them, and then they'll take them away again. Isn't that a lovely story?
But that is
traveling. You can go anywhere in time or space and travel. What else can you do? My goodness, concerts. The three that we know for sure are performing there, based on what the dead have told us more recently, are Elvis, Frank Sinatra, and John Lennon. So you can go.
Hey.
You can have any Elvis. He does all those different stages of Elvis at different times for people. And suppose he's performing in what would be Czechoslovakia, and you just put out the intention, I want to, you know, early Elvis next time he wants to do it. He's in Czechoslovakia. So you just think, I want to be there, and you're instantly there. There's no time, because there's no space. There's no time differentiation, and you're right there in the front row center enjoying early Elvis. Is that a wonderful thing?
That is, you know, and I'm sure my Uncle Frank is in the front row.
That's why I was thinking about that. Frank is there.
He's there, I'm sure, singing along. So, so Roberta, what about this question? We talk about loved ones, but what if you want to connect with someone in history or celebrity? You know, is that possible?
There needs to be a love connection for there to be, because this connection is really by mind. They tell us you can't, that you're not able to connect with someone who was not, with whom you don't have a love connection. Now, I have, among the books that I've written, this book was published by Doubleday in 1993. It's a recreation of Martha Jefferson's journal, very carefully researched, extremely accurate, and it's been very well reviewed. I still hear from people who read it. It's been just been republished this year. You can find it on my website. It's called My Thomas. So when I was doing that novel, I thought, oh, I must be so connected to the Jeffersons. I'll bet I can get them to come through. And I went to, you know, mediums and stuff, and they all said, they may be helping you with your book, but because you didn't know them in life, you won't be able to connect with them in death. So I had to accept that. Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I do think they actually, what a couple of them said, you know, they say they are helping you, but they're just not able to make a personal connection because they didn't know you in life.
Interesting. Okay. Because there was someone who was connecting with me that would be considered famous. And I kept getting, it was a father in a past life. This was like, and then, so then that makes sense to me. Now I think that might be more authentic because yeah, I was doubting it, you know, like, what is this person really coming through, you know? So that's interesting. There has to be some kind of a love connection.
Finishing that thought, it's possible for someone in history to be your guide, in which case they do form a connection with you. I've since discovered that I have 5 dead clergymen working with me as my guides on these books. And one of them is very famous. I've never told anyone who it is, but I'm obviously hearing from him, even though I didn't know him in life. But that's the kind of thing that they can establish if they really want to, but it needs to be kind of a guide relationship. But yeah, if it was a previous life relationship, no problem.
So what about that? You know, a lot of us are now, you know, much more open-minded, and there's a lot of science now to that talks about the, you know, past lives and to back up that theory. And so what about loved ones connecting with us from other lifetimes? Do you have any research on that in your book?
Oh, my goodness. The thing about this probably would take a whole different book to talk about the whole past lives thing. There are a few things about reincarnation that are true. Number one, yes, we do reincarnate. It's really impossible for that not to be true based on all the evidence. But there is no objective time. So therefore, we are told by upper level beings that all of our lifetimes are happening at once. Indeed, all of history is happening at once. I know this makes our eyes cross to think about it, but that's what they tell us. And our lifetimes that are all happening at once are influencing one another. So, for example, Dr. Brian Weiss, who is the sort of father of past life regression therapy, whereby a problem in this lifetime, whether a phobia or an illness, can be cured by fixing a past lifetime. Basically, all they have to do is take you back to where the trauma was received and the problem started, and that fixes it right there. And I've had it happen to me, so I can tell you it does work. But sometimes they don't find it in a past life. So he started experimenting with taking people to future lives. And he found that he sometimes can find the trauma influencing this lifetime in a future life. So clearly, all the science is consistent. This is true. It's just very hard for us to believe because we think of time as an arrow and we think of it as actually passing. Neither of those is actually true.
Well, you know, that is a little bit of a difficult concept to wrap your mind around, that past, present, and future lives are all happening simultaneously.
Right.
But if you have a little faith with it, that can show you that you have the power to change things and you don't have to be stuck in the past. So, you know, hopefully that gives a little message of hope, even if you can't really understand the concept yet.
No, they tell us that it isn't only that things are stranger than we imagine. Things are stranger from our perspective than we even could imagine. They tell us don't try to figure it out because with your little pea brain, because you're basically your mind is limited by your body, you really can't figure it out. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to try to figure it out anyway. They can't tell me not to try to figure it out. So I encourage everyone
like
else.
An attorney.
do not be deterred, but just understand this is very difficult stuff because reality is so much bigger, more complex, and more wonderful than we can possibly imagine.
Well, you know, I love your approach because you're so grounded and you're like you said, you're a skeptic because you're a business attorney. I mean, of course, but then you have the faith and you have the spiritual guidance and you do the research and you mix it all together, you know, and it's just it makes for a really interesting read because it gives people the skeptics the research that they need and the people who aren't so skeptical, the a little bit more of the woo-woo stuff. You mix it all together, Roberta. I love that.
But see, I think everyone should be a skeptic. Don't believe stuff just because someone that, you know, maybe has a good tale to tell tells you it's true. There is a real science here. There are real truths to be discovered. And they're all consistent with one another. It's a big picture, but it's all one picture. So I urge everybody to be a skeptic. Just don't be closed-minded. You know, be open-minded to try to understand the truth. Just don't be credulous about it. You don't need to be. It's all real.
Well, Roberta, we have a short break, but when we come back, you guys, make sure you stay with us because she's going to tell us what a soul phone is, and I can't wait to hear all about this. So <All right. laughs> we're speaking with Roberta Grimes today. Her website is robertagrimes.com, and we will be right back.
When it comes to publishing, there is a difference. At Big Country Publishing, they work with you on a personal level to create a custom publishing package that's tailored to your needs as an author. Their design team and experts in the industry will contribute to you to create the book that you've always dreamed of. Isn't it time to go big? Contact them today at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Do you feel stuck? Do you feel empty or lost? Have you tried to clear what's not working from your life and have the same issues coming up over and over? There is hope. A heart and soul healing session can retrieve your soul and heal your heart so you can feel love, joy, peace, and abundance. Contact Claudia McNeely today at www.askclaudia.com and feel better now.
Hello, my name is Ted Winslow. And as a professional singer, songwriter, musician, and audio engineer, I have worked with voice coaching for many years. I created a new CD, Vocalist Scales and Intervals, for my clients who were looking for an easy and affordable way to improve the quality of their voice. So, if you're in broadcasting, public speaking, or in the music industry, you'll benefit from the voice exercises. Just load it into your MP3 player and you're ready to go. Vocalist Scales and Intervals by Ted Winslow is now available on iTunes, Amazon, and BigCountryPublishing.com.
Welcome back, everyone. So we're speaking with Roberta Grimes today. Roberta, I wanted to ask you this question at the top of the show, but I decided to save it for the last part of the show because what in the heck is a soul phone and where can I get one?
Well, they're not on the market yet.
Oh, okay.
Here's the problem. The problem we have is that the evidence that our lives are eternal, our minds are eternal, is overwhelming and consistent. And it has been so for 100 years, except mainstream science ignores it. And therefore, most people aren't aware of it, which is tragic. People are born, live, and die without knowing that their minds are eternal. And therefore, they're not living their lives optimally. I mean, it's a tragic situation. So how the heck can we grab mainstream science by the lapels, if not by the throat, and shake and say, look, you got to look at this because it's real. Well, there are a few ways that the people working in this field are trying to do it, and one of them is with a telephone. At the point where there is a phone made a mechanism, and it's being done now with computers, by the way. We've long since passed the Wright brothers' first flight. We're not quite ready for commercial flight yet, but we're well into getting ready for that, the people doing hard work in this field. And by the way, most of the people working in this field are dead. The people working with them who are not dead are their lab assistants. And the only thing that's delaying this research, frankly, is money, because the dead have no concept of what it costs to build some of the things they're trying to get us to build. But it's being done primarily with computers and specialized software. And they're using light as one of the ways to transmit the voices, and other methods. This is an area where I'm not expert, but there are people who are. A soul phone will be a way whereby if you've just lost a loved one, moms have lost children, or you've lost a dear spouse, you'll be able to ring them up and say, "How you doing?" And they'll be able to say back to you in real time, "I'm fine," using their voice. "I'm fine. This is what I'm doing today. I'm okay, mommy. This nice lady is taking care of me. They tell me I'll see you soon. I'm going to go play now." Or a husband of 50 years will hear for his wife say, "I'm fine, dear. Here's how to make that soup you wish you knew you remembered how to make, so you can still have the soup I used to make for you." I mean, that kind of conversation. And to have it directly, no mediums involved. That's a soul phone. And when we can do that, it'll be impossible for the closed-minded skeptics who are running mainstream science now to tell you and me and regular people that the dead don't survive, because they're just going to spit in their eye. They'll say, "Look, I just talked to him. You tell me he's not alive. He said things to me directly, no medium, nothing. Things to me only I would have known." So that's what it is. And I'm sorry to be all exercised about it, but it is frustrating for someone who spent decades working in this field and knows these things to be true. I mean, it's objectively certain they're true. To still see science ignoring them, and frankly, to its own great detriment. Mainstream science, especially physics, has been in the weeds for 100 years because they have refused to look at these facts. But the soul phone will change everything, and I expect it within 10 years.
Whoa, 10 years? Okay, yes. Now I'm like, are you going to have a different ringtone?
Yes, you'll be able to choose your ringtone. People have said, we need it as an app. We want to put it on our, and it may become an app, you know? I don't know where this is going. I mean, as we know, when we remember the old days, my first job was programming for an IBM 360 computer. It took up a whole room. It had all these tape drives and all this stuff, and it had to have a false floor and a false ceiling because of all the cooling. That was the first computer. It had a tiny fraction of the power of my iPhone. So what could happen. When you think about it, the people, as I say, doing this work are the dead. They've tried this before. In the first part of the 20th century, there was a huge push on by the dead to help us know that they were alive and fine. And they produced incontrovertible evidence. It was wonderful. The technology of the time, of course, was primitive, but they did what they could. And they were ignored by science. So they kind of went away and did other things. But then some people, Edison, for example, who had been working on these things here, died. And there was a new push in the 80s and 90s to get this kind of information to the world. And we had telephones. We had all kinds of things happening. But again, there was no funding, and there was on this side, and there was no ability to interest science. So again, they said, "You guys are idiots. We're going to go play," and they went and played. But now, starting the early part of this century, there's really been a new push on, and the dead are some very famous dead people are working with the living researchers now. Just the ones I know about. And if I know about, four of them right now who are really, really doing extraordinary work, all of them semi-independently, semi-together. So if I know about them, I'm sure there are others in other parts of the world that I don't even know about. But that's what a soul phone is. And it's going to burst on the scene like the rocket's red glare, because nothing will be the same after we all know that you can talk randomly to people who are dead. They'll never be the same again.
Okay. All I can say, Roberta, is I don't care if the new iPhone comes out. I'm not one of those people who has to stand in line, you know, at the Apple store for the latest iPhone 85 or whatever's out now. Uh-huh. And that is not me. But for the soul phone, I will camp out overnight. Like, that is amazing.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful thought? Think of the comfort for people who have lost someone they're very close to, especially unexpectedly, or were out of time, out of, you know, way too young. To be able to talk to a child and hear the child's voice say, "I'm okay, Mommy, there's somebody here who loves me, who's taking care of me, I'll see you soon." That kind of thing. What a difference that will make in that parent's life. Wow.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear 10 years, you know. I didn't know if I'd be alive to see that happen.
Well, I think 10 years. That's what I think. We'll see. The people doing this work are making strides like you wouldn't believe. But to once get something to demonstrate, it has to be 100%. One of the interesting problems is we're finding that there has to be a specific station for the area of the world where this is being done. A lot of the best work's being done in Brazil, in Portuguese. Well, try telling an American scientist that this is for anything when it's all in Portuguese. They are getting some Americans talking, but not as many as we would like. So there's now an American station that people are working on. When I say people, I mean dead people. They have good collaborators here, but there are dead people who are zealously, again, famous people. And for some reason, the famous people gravitate to this, I think, because people pay more attention to them. I have no idea why. You know, it's one of the many things about life I just don't understand. Which of the dead people have chosen to do this? Some of them were not scientists in life, although some were. And why? But ours is not to wonder why. Ours is just to be excited about the prospect, because it's going to be wonderful.
Well, that's exciting, you know. I was not expecting to find out about the soul phone. I must say that, you know, connecting with loved ones on the other side, that's a common topic. The soul phone, Roberta, that was a good one. I appreciate you sharing that with us today. So we're coming to the close of the show, but, you know, real quickly, what are some things, just real quick for people out there, how, you know, the people on the other side can help us, you know, change our lives, help us having good communication. How can that help us?
Well, I think number one, it of course, eases grief. Number two, it allows us to have closure with people with whom we had unfinished issues. Number three, I think it helps us to understand that we're eternal too. We live our lives very differently when we think in terms of having an eternal mind. And everybody's mind is eternal. It never began. It never will end. It's eternal. So you tend not to sort of abuse your mind the way we do when we're just here. You tend also not to care so much about material things. I mean, here's the reality. After you die, you know, they say you can't take it with you. After you die, you just have to think about you wanting something, and it's right there. It's amazing. You can have everything physical. It doesn't matter. And I think the reason is so that we'll get over the thought that anything physical does matter. But when you know all of these things for certainty, it changes everything in your life. I was not nice before, Christina, believe it or not. Until I knew all this stuff, I was selfish, grasping all those things. But now I just couldn't, I could not care less about, I don't worry about anything either. Maybe that's the biggest thing that this changes. It does away with fear altogether. Fear of death is the base fear. When you don't fear death anymore, you don't fear mortgage payments. You don't fear anything. Because what can hurt you if your life is eternal and if it's all good? You're safe in everlasting arms no matter what.
Well, that's beautiful. You know, that's, fear locks us in so many ways and stops us from enjoying the little things of being living, you know, being
that's right.
in a body right now and not in spirit form. And so that's absolutely beautiful. So, Roberta, we only have a couple minutes left, but do you have any events coming up in case people would like to see you in person?
Well, I'm going to be in Seattle the 12th and the 13th of this month, next weekend, at East West Bookstore in Seattle. So if you just Google East West Bookstore in Seattle, I think it's 7 o'clock on Friday night, and that's free. And then I think 1 o'clock on Saturday the 13th, there's a workshop with a nominal fee. I did this at Mountain View at the East West Bookstore there in October and in Mountain View, California. And we had so much fun. And this one will be even better because I sort of used that one for practice. So now we're going to really, really have a lot of fun. But any questions you have, anything you want to learn, I talk about things that I never made it into the books and try to help people really begin their own journeys of joy in learning all of this. So I look forward to that. Also, in the fall of next year, the latter part of September, there's going to be a workshop, a conference in Scottsdale, which nobody should miss. It's the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies is doing a conference called Life in the Afterlife, and we've got speakers, including the people working on the soul phone, including a physical medium, which is something, there are only half a dozen in the world. What they can do, frankly, will blow your mind. And this is going to be in Scottsdale. Go to ascsi.org and all the information is there.
Thank you. I'm sorry to cut you off. We are out of time. If you want more information, go to robertagrimes.com. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. And to all of you listening out there, we hope this show inspires you to connect with your loved ones. We hope you have a beautiful week and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Reach For It Radio. Please join your host, Christina Winslow, live each Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio. Listen live or listen later. Subscribe for free on iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Or connect with us on reachforitradio.com.